In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is born.
Amen.
Today, a number of themes come together for us in the liturgical cycle of our church. We remember the prophet David today. We hear of Herod and his order to slaughter the innocent children of Bethlehem. We hear of Joseph taking the child and his mother and fleeing to Egypt. And one of the themes that we have given to us today is the honor due to Saint Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, the husband of Mary. Now, Joseph was a widower. His first wife was named Salomonia. Together they had six children, two daughters, four sons, before Salomonia passed away. And one of those sons is James, the brother of the Lord, author of the Epistle of James and first bishop of Jerusalem. So when Joseph takes Mary to be his wife, and when Joseph adopts Jesus as his son, Jesus is getting six siblings. He's getting four brothers and two sisters out of the deal right off the bat. In fact, if you look at our icons in the center of the church, we have, of course, the Nativity icon. Next to it, we have an icon of the flight into Egypt where Joseph is leading the family away from Herod's edict and into the safety of Egypt. And Joseph is holding a little two-year-old Jesus on his shoulders. And there's Mary and the donkey. And there's a teenage boy walking behind them. That teenage boy is James, Jesus' older brother from Joseph's marriage to Salomonia. And we hear a lot about Joseph at Christmas time, but not a lot the rest of the year. So I'd like to take a couple of moments this morning to give our amazing Joseph the honor that he is due. And maybe we might be inspired by his righteousness. First aspect of his that I'd like us to consider is his discretion. When Joseph finds out about Mary's pregnancy and knows the child is not his, it says in Matthew's gospel, Joseph being a righteous man, not wanting to make a public example of her, was minded to put her away secretly, was minded to divorce her quietly. Because, of course, the penalty for adultery, which would have been presumed, was the death penalty. It says, being a righteous man, he decided to put her away quietly. But how is Joseph a righteous man if he's secretly violating the law? If the law required the death penalty of an adulteress, then how is he being righteous by violating that? It's because he had mercy and compassion. And mercy and compassion are above the law, and mercy and compassion are greater than the law, and mercy and compassion are the heart of the law. Discretion is a form of mercy, and discretion is certainly a form of compassion. Some of you might remember the story of Noah and his sons, and I'm not speaking here about the ark, but what happened after they got off the ark? It says Noah became a farmer, he planted a vineyard. When the grapes were ready, of course, he made wine, and it says he drank too much and passed out naked in his tent. His son, Ham, sees him, goes out and just tells everybody, you got to see the old man here in the tent. Shem and Japheth think better of it. They have discretion. They put a cloak on their backs, walk in backwards, cover up their dad until he can sober up. Because discretion is a form of mercy, the two who showed discretion were blessed. Ham, the one who made a mockery of it, he ends up being cursed because discretion is a form of mercy, and mercy is greater than the law. The second aspect of Joseph I'd like us to consider is Joseph's commitment, his commitment to Mary and the child. You know, while Joseph is contemplating, what am I going to do with this woman that I'm engaged to, who's now pregnant? It says in the gospel that an angel comes to him and tells him, Joseph, do not be afraid. This child is conceived of the Holy Spirit. And after the angel speaks to Joseph, he makes a decision. Joseph makes a decision to take Mary as his wife and to adopt Jesus as his son. And when Joseph makes that decision, it's a done deal. It is a commitment. It's nothing wishy-washy about this. It's not, well, we'll see how it goes. He says, I will take Mary and I will take Jesus. And this marriage, of course, as we know from today's story, ends up being way more than any husband could have bargained for ahead of time. Taking on a pregnant fiance in a very traditional society that's not going to understand the miraculous. Then he has to take this trip down to Bethlehem for the census when she's 9 months pregnant. And then you find out that the king is after your son. And so you flee all the way to Egypt, which was no easy ride. And then finally you can go back to Judea only to find out that the king's son is now in charge, and rumor has it that he's much more harsh even than his father was. And so finally you go up to Nazareth to settle. In all that time, Joseph never thought, is it worth it? Never thought, maybe I should just cut my losses and go. He made a commitment, and he kept it. The third thing I'd like to consider, or for us to consider in Joseph, is his faithfulness to God. These early journeys could have ended in disaster at any point. It took a heart open to the promptings of God to know what to do. Now, I had the weirdest dream the other night. I had a dream that I had built a house in Florida on the beach in the sand, but the house started sinking because the sand was too soft. And so I put the house on the back of my bicycle, like any normal human being would do, and I bicycled this house further inland and set it back down. But in the process, the porch had shrunk, so I had to pull the porch wider. And when I pulled the porch wider, I discovered a banker standing on the porch asking me to sign the deed of the house over to him. And in my mind, even in my dream, I knew it was a scam, but I signed anyway. Dreams can be crazy, right? Did you hear how many times in the gospel lesson today Joseph was warned in a dream? Joseph was warned in a dream. Dreams can be crazy, and usually we'd be crazy to listen to them. How is Joseph different? Because Joseph was different, and his dreams were different. It's because Joseph was a soul who remained open to the promptings of God, awake or asleep. How many of us can say that? And he tested his dreams against Scripture. It says when he awoke, he remembered the Lord speaking through the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And he said, aha, this fits with what had already been foretold. But us in our distracted and diverted lives, how often do we miss the promptings of God even when we're wide awake? Because we're just not listening? Because God is not a priority? Because our lives have gotten too busy? Too chaotic, we don't have time for God. Joseph kept his life different. And mind you, he had 6 kids and now 7 in tow. He had a new wife, and instead of letting those things get the best of him, he knew he needed God all the more, and was therefore all the more faithful to the Lord and open to his voice, awake or asleep. On this day, when the church invites us to venerate Saint Joseph, let us remember and let us be inspired ourselves by this amazing saint of the church, Joseph's discretion for others, which is a form of mercy, his keeping of his commitments, and his enduring and open faithfulness to God. Amen.